Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable, episode 110, where we'll be discussing Once Upon a Time, season 6, episode 17, Awake. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach us on Twitter at Onceable or comment on this post on Hypeable.com. My name is Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by fellow co-hosts Caitlin and Kristen. How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hello.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it is Easter Sunday, and we are coming together after a very long and trying weekend for all of us. So here we are, ready to give our thumbs up, thumbs down for this week's Once Upon a Time, which is obviously the most important part of our entire weekend. And let's kick it off with Kristen. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Okay, I think I'm going to give it a thumb sideways. There was a lot I liked about this episode. They kind of faked me out with last week's trailer and made me think that something else was going to happen in this episode that never did. And the thumb sideways is really for the absolutely blatant non-drinking of any liquid. Like, put some water in the damn goblet, because they were all just like sloshing it back. And I'm like, if there was anything in there, you would all be covered in sleeping potion. So yeah, that's really why I'm giving it a thumb sideways, is because it was so blatantly empty. I'm like, come on. So yeah, thumb sideways.
All right. And Caitlin, what about you?
Besides the fact that I had the exact same thought as Kristen about the goblet.
It's just so blatant. It's like, come on.
So obvious there's nothing in it. I'm giving it a thumbs up. It cleared up some of the big issues that have been lingering, and I was fairly satisfied in the way that it happened. So I'm going to go thumbs up.
All right. I'm also going to go thumb sideways. I agree with Kristen's observation about the cup, but also because, like Kristen, I thought that, I don't know if I was expecting just more to be happening at this point in the season in terms of plot, and I think that it was, the stuff we did get in this episode was interesting, but it felt very slow, and I just wasn't sure if it felt big enough. I feel like we're coming towards the end of the season at this point, so I didn't really feel the big threat looming over them. It's sort of just like, oh, we can coexist and still go on little adventures, even though the Black Fairy is roaming about the town. And she didn't really seem all that powerful to me in this episode. Like, she could have easily just finished out her plan, I feel like, if she was the founder of dark magic, so to speak. Let's move into our favorite quotes. I'd like to go to Caitlin, because I thought this was hilarious.
Yes, so mine was in the flashback to Storybrooke, and Mary Margaret greets Archie, and Archie barks and goes, "Sorry about Pongo, he's in a mood. He's off gluten." That was the best.
Yeah, that was great. I loved all the cuts back to the older times in Storybrooke, but especially just, you know, Archie and Pongo's very special relationship. Kristen, what about you?
Mine comes from Hook, because, you know, and it actually, it's from when Tiger Lily, like, tells him that Pan may have left some magic behind, but it's back in camp where there's, like, 20 or so Lost Boys, angry Lost Boys, waiting for him, and he says, "Aye, is that all? Then I feel bad for those lads, because they don't stand a chance." And anytime he says I just kind of die inside, because it's just charming and adorable, and I love it. And B, he just was so Hook in that moment, like a little bit cocky, a little bit like self-assured, but just determined, and it was really cute.
Let the pirate be a pirate.
I like it when he pirates. It's cute.
Mine was also a Hook quote, and it was towards the end of the episode where he comes back and he proposes to Emma, but just before he does it, he's sort of rushed and he is frazzled and he knows exactly where the ring is, and he's like, "Before another portal opens, there's just one thing I have to do," and he's like just trying to get it out because he knows that at any moment, like, something could happen where he's just taken away from Emma and you know, they have to move quickly in this world because anything can happen at any time. And I'm glad that they're trying to still live, I guess, in a sense, with this threat looming, because there's always going to be a threat and there's always going to be something coming. And I liked this blatant acknowledgement of that. Like, we're never going to find our normal. So our normal has to exist in very, very small pockets of time.
Or Hook's going to get knocked unconscious.
Yes.
Oh, one day God, he's going to wake up in a coma.
Oh, he cannot stay on his feet for very long. Forget the sleeping curse. Like, he's knocked out more than Snow and David were asleep.
Like, has he ever been checked for a concussion? Because
he should be. He gets knocked out by getting hit in the shoulder. Like, it's a problem.
So true. It's so true.
poor Hook. All right. So to kick off our discussion of this episode, I want to toss it over to Caitlin first, because a huge part of this episode was the flashbacks between the present day and the past, where we learn a little something about Snow and Charming's time when the first curse was still happening. So Caitlin, why don't you take it away?
Yeah. So we found out, like, big surprise, hey, guess what? Snow and Charming were awake at one point during the curse, and there was the pixie flower, like, ended up being the cause of it, and that's how it all ties into the present. But there's this whole thing where Charming wakes up out of his coma and he's completely awake and ends up helping wake up Snow, and they wake up Gold at that point, and they decide to go, like, they're conflict is whether they can rescue Emma or not and bring her to them and raise her, and then she won't become the savior in that case if they do it, and they have to make the decision. But this is a pretty big shocker, considering we were under the impression that they were under this curse for 28 years, and all of a sudden, by the way, there was this portion, it was only like a day, but there was a portion of time where they were awake, and then when the curse broke, they had these memories again, that they have never mentioned up until this point, which you would think at some point that might have come up before now. But hey, it's convenient. Like, a lot of things in this episode was convenient.
Yeah.
I was very surprised.
Yeah, that was so weird. I was like, whoa. I thought I completely forgot an entire huge chunk of what was happening during the first curse. I was like, am I supposed to remember this, or is this new information? Like, was it ever hinted at that these two were running around awake, or that, you know, Rumpel had this trigger word where he was like, Emma, right, yes, I'm back. Like, you know, like, you know, it's like a safe word. Like, oh, if we say this one word around Rumpel, he's going to wake up. So, like, don't say anything that sounds like Emma or, you know, is closely related to that, because he'll wake up and be like, oh, right, we're totally under a curse right now. Kristen, what did you think of seeing, you know, just even when David, like, kind of wakes up and he's immediately in his charming mode, like, oh my God, I just got knocked out by the Queen's guards, and now where's our daughter? And I put her in a wardrobe. And what did you think of that whole scene?
I mean, okay. Yes, it was a little convenient. Yes, they clearly cooked this up just for this episode. Yes, it's all just, you know, they just fit it into the canon. I don't even care. It was really, really cute. Like, when he woke up in full charming mode, like, just ready to go, and, like, you know, he knew that Snow was in there, and one touch and ta-da, she's Snow again. And it was just, it was a really adorable reminder of just how sickeningly sweet they can be. It's been so long since we've seen them in the same room at the same time that it was kind of a nice little break from, you know, sleeping curse drama, and just to give them a second to kind of see each other and be in a scene together again. I liked it. Like, I know it was convenient. It doesn't bother me that much. Yeah, I just thought it was fun, and it served the storyline. When they originally cut this trailer and showed us the footage of all of them, like, back in, you know, flashbacks and that, they almost made it seem like Snow and Charming were going back to the time of the Dark Curse, current Snowman Charming, and we're going to have the ability to change something. Like, I thought we were doing like a Hook and Emma go to the Enchanted Forest kind of thing, like time travel almost. And I was like, this is going to be insane. And then come to find out that it was like total flashback stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. A lot less like there are grand stakes here. More, this is a thing that happened that we forgot to tell you about.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the way the trailer was cut, especially because they filmed the flashbacks as themselves, granted, all of these characters look so phenomenal. They can play themselves in flashbacks that happened 6-7 years ago, and they look identical. It's crazy. It really blows my mind, especially Regina. She looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
I liked the fact that they kept... Like, you know, well, first of all, I liked that Rumpel's hair was back. And David was like, you look a little less scaly.
Yes.
And like you were saying, Kristen, I really just enjoyed the fact of seeing them together again. Because it's been a while since we've had the lovey-dovey Snow and David. And they even mention that. I think every single character has a line that's like, oh, well, you'll be back to being all cute and gross in no time. Like, Regina was almost kind of like dreading it. I did want to touch on one, like, random thing that I thought was so stupid, and I just laughed when it came on. It was like, oh, Regina and Zelina's big thing is like, you know what? We're going to wash your hearts. We're just gonna, they just need a good scrubbing down, and then they'll be all nice and clean. They like take them out of like a deep fryer vat.
I know, that's what I was, why did they deep fry them?
It's just gonna take a second. We just need to deep fry your heart.
And then they put them in, and then we had this crazy, okay, now you only have 24 hours, and then they're gonna go to sleep forever. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you know that? How, you didn't even know what you did to their hearts. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, I know the exact timing of when they're going to fall asleep. It was equal parts great and horrible. So I think that's why it's just a meh episode, because
I know everything I need to know except what I need to know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and I'm kind of disappointed that these flowers are coming into play so late in the game, because the point that I wanted to talk about in this episode in general was just this idea of these pixies. And we've been aware of the pixie dust magic before all of this, but these are like particular flowers that have pixie dust on them, and they only bloom when there is like really great darkness and evil around. Does that mean, I feel like these should be blooming by the droves just by the sole fact that Rumpel exists in this.
Yes.
Like, right? The dark one lives in Storybrooke.
Or what about when there were like 30 dark ones in the town?
Or when like Cruella and Ursula, and like, I guess because maybe all those characters had other sides and they're trying to be good.
Or Pan?
Or Pan? Yeah,
it was
Pan
pretty
was
darn evil.
It should have been raining these petals.
Yeah, that was my biggest complaint. Like, I liked the whole pixie petal thing. I was totally fine with it, but I'm like, these things should have come into play a long time ago.
I agree. I think that they were cool and they served their purpose. And when they mentioned that they could reunite true love, I was like, okay, good. This is the way we're getting Hook back. Like, I felt like it rushed too many plots and left way too many plot holes for us to think about. So, yes, it gave us a way to get Emma and Hook back together, but it also rushed everything that we were kind of talking about last week, where we wanted more of Hook. I mean, besides our spinoff idea where he just lives in Neverland forever, we wanted more of like Hook's little off-screen adventures, because they're fun and we wanted to see him in these other worlds. Whether or not he gets back to Emma is another story. We kind of all know that that was going to happen, but it sort of rushed that to get him back. It rushed getting, you know, this idea across that this great evil force is at work in Storybrooke. But other than that, it really didn't do much besides create a lot of problems, like we were just discussing. There's so many plot holes with these pixie flowers and just pixie dust in general that I don't know if it was worth it. This episode was definitely the convenience episode of the season. Hopefully we got it out of the way. And we kind of figure out that the Black Fairy is responsible for a lot of darkness. Like, she's like, oh, I basically invented dark magic. Now, we just spent season 5 getting all of this information on the history and the lore and, you know, the origin of the Dark One. And then to come to find out, it's like, actually, I kind of am responsible for dark magic and my son just happened to be the Dark One. That one line killed me. Are you just saying that because you think you're responsible, or are you actually responsible for dark magic? Yeah,
like, she may have been powerful enough to create something as horrible and, you know, realm-altering as the Dark Curse, but, yeah, after everything we know about the Dark One and how all of that came to be, like, how can she be directly responsible for dark magic in general? I found that a little off-putting as well.
You'd think she'd need to be, like, the personification of evil, which maybe that's what they're going for, but then there shouldn't... I feel like evil just, like, exists. It's not something that a fairy could go down that path and become that, you know? Mm-hmm. It just seems like she should just be, like, a force in form or something.
Yeah, and it's almost like another version of the Dark One. Like, it's something that overtakes them, so they're like, you are a person. Like, Gold, we've seen him without being the Dark One, he is a person, but it's like the embodiment of the evil mixing with the person is what makes Rumpelstiltskin, basically. So I don't know, it just, that just rubbed me the wrong way, because I felt like it dismantled a lot of, and very okay, so season 5, as we all know, had very few redeeming qualities, and one of the most interesting aspects of season 5 was, I think, at least the Dark One storyline and Dark Swan, and I really enjoyed all of that. And then to have this person come along and sort of like almost just dismantle it with one line, being like, okay, well then what should I be looking at for evil? Am I not looking at the Dark One? Is he not really a threat because there's this other greater evil out there? There's always going to be evil and there's always going to be challenges, but I feel like they can't keep making evil one up evil, like, you know, setting something as the highest form of evil and then having something convenient come in the next season as the, oh no, but really this is the highest form of evil.
Right, but oh wait, there's a secret highest form of evil that no one's ever known about. Oh, but wait, there's another higher form that even they didn't know about. Like, yeah, they keep playing that game, like, this is the most evil of evils, and then wait, there's this other thing you didn't know about.
Oh, I want to make a Buffy reference right now, but I can't for you guys. Dang it. We're not there yet on Rewatchable.
Yeah, if anyone listens to another podcast, Rewatchable, Kristen and I are watching Buffy for the first time, so Caitlin can't make obscure pop culture references that are 20 years old because we haven't seen them yet.
Because there's something relevant that I'm thinking about, but I'm sure people who've seen Buffy know what I'm thinking about.
Okay, so if you've seen Buffy and you know what Caitlin's thinking about, contact Jane Epson and see if she wrote it about this episode. I feel like she did write this episode too, interestingly enough.
I was going to say, I know she was tweeting tonight, yeah. And she doesn't always tweet about Once Upon a Time, so she was probably involved in this episode.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. All of that is happening, and it's not great. But before we got Hook back, we did see him in Neverland, and we got a little bit of Pirate Hook, but Pirate Hook, just like Storybrooke Hook, gets knocked out a lot. And so we have the introduction and return of Tiger Lily. And what did you think of her whole plotline, Kristen? Because this is where you wanted to take our conversation.
Big Peter Pan fan here, especially for, like, I loved the Disney movie, and I've always kind of been a big fan of all the different, like, incarnations of it, and I've, you know, watched a lot of it, and I love Tiger Lily, and I actually really liked how they gave her a lot of, like, skill and self-assurance, and, like, she just walked in and was a badass. I loved all of that, but I'm like, okay, A, why is this the first time we're meeting her? B, why does it seem like we're never going to see her again? Like, I want more of Tiger Lily. I really thought she was awesome. You know, is there a possibility that we will possibly be seeing her again? Or is this, like, it? You know, like, she and Hook seem to have a lot of history, obviously. And anybody who's seen Peter Pan knows that they have a bit of history. And it just, yeah, I really just want more. I liked what I saw, and I'm hoping that they didn't just put her in, you know, Neverland to save Hook's life and then give him, you know, the hint toward the thing that could possibly save Emma. Like, I want to hear her story. I want to see what she's doing in Neverland and all of that.
Yeah, because she's living in a pretty tumultuous time in Neverland as well. Because there's no real leadership. There's no, I mean, Pan is gone. The Lost Boys are sort of just running amok. And what is her role in Neverland? And her story could be so interesting and not just a one-off little bit of, you know, by the way, I'm just here and I'm going to tell you how to fix your love life.
And she has ties to the Black Fairy, like was there when she fell, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of important, I would think.
I'm hoping that she comes back.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't help but feel like what they gave Tiger Lily to work with here could have been another character. Like, they didn't need Tiger Lily to be the one that saved Hook and then led him to the right place. Like, they could have made it be a lost boy who was always loyal to Hook, who, you know, was grateful to see him. They could have made it, I'm trying to remember where we left Tinkerbell. It could have been Tinkerbell. Like, you know, like, there are other characters we've met before, or, like, you know, you could have made it a side character that we would not care to see again pretty easily. But instead, they decided to make it Tiger Lily, this pretty, I mean, she's not Peter Pan, but she's pretty iconic to the Peter Pan storyline. People know who Tiger Lily is.
Mm-hmm.
And they put her in this episode. I'm like, I hope that there's more of this. Like, I hope she wasn't just here for this moment and then is gone.
I thought she was going to go through the door with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hoped.
Doors were such a problem here. Like, let's just shove Roland and, you know, Little John through it and everyone go back to Camelot and have a great time. And Tiger Lily, no, you stay, Tiger Lily. We don't need you.
And also watch baby Emma through a door.
Yeah, it's, these doors. The doors bug me because they could have been so convenient early on.
Oh, I know. And, like, the fact that these pixie petals can just make doorways and portals, like, where were these, you know, 3 seasons ago when we just needed to be able to get from place to place? And, like, I feel like someone, now that the Black Fairy is still at large, these pixie petals have got to be sprouting elsewhere. Like, they can't just stop because they got rid of that batch. Like, I want Leroy on pixie petal patrol, like, running around town trying to gather them all, because at some point we're going to need a portal. I can promise you that.
I love that you pick him to go and do this. And
I forgot about him for a while, and then he showed up again, and I'm like, oh, Leroy, I love you.
I bet the Black Fairy has Gideon on gardening duty, and he's just, like, going out and looking for them, and then, like, destroying them as he finds them. Good use of his time.
Yeah. I loved the scene in the hospital with Leroy where he was like grumpy and he's like, who are you calling grumpy?
Are you making this about my height?
Yeah. that was fantastic. But speaking of Gideon, there was an interesting moment at the end of the episode with Rumpel. Can't believe I just said there was an interesting moment with Rumpel. But there was.
Where, shock. Just ended.
Shock horror. Yeah.
Where he's talking to the Black Fairy and, you know, Gideon's there and Rumpel can see how badly Gideon is responding to the whole situation and he can see through the Black Fairy's plan, which is to control Gideon by, as we know, she has his heart. So he can see through all of that type of magic because clearly who hasn't done that before? He did it with Hook and it's easy to see the play once you know what to look for. And so it just doesn't seem like she is, we were talking about this earlier, she just doesn't seem like she's that big of a threat for the way that she talks. And I kind of want to jump really far ahead and talk about the preview for next week, because I think it's important, because we saw at the end of this episode a bunch of the town comes together to break the sleeping curse, and there's this whole bonding thing. They're all bound to each other and they're all going to fight together to help and stop whatever's happening. And so I'm curious if you think that the Black Fairy isn't inherently strong enough, or if she just doesn't, if she's just trying to like create a fail safe, because she has Gideon technically on her side because she's controlling him, but she is going up against Rumpel and she's going up against everyone else in the town. Like, does she need to recruit someone in order to absolutely make it happen, or is she just scared?
I wish they were giving us this explanation that, like, she's not, she doesn't have access to her full powers in this realm or something.
Yeah.
That would make a lot more sense. Or she has to take some time to, like, charge up or something.
Charge up.
Like, she gotta recharge her batteries or something, you know? Like, that would make slightly more sense.
Yeah, because if she is this all-powerful dark being, I feel like she could have made some moves and set some things up already, or the plan would be a lot further along than it is. I feel like right now she's just kind of coasting and walking around being like, wahaha, I'm here, and that's it.
Like, right? She's like my announcing mustache. Her presence.
Like, she's going to get caught monologuing, and it's going to be a thing. I when they met her in the woods, I'm like, why doesn't she just kill Amino? There's no reason why she needs to leave her alive and, like, delay this. It makes no sense. Like, it's my one, you know, villains, sometimes it's like, just get to it. Like, it would be so much easier for her if she would have just vanquished her then. Done. Complete. Moving on. We can go back to my realm. Like,
it's because it's episode 17, Kristen.
I know. I know. And it's just like, make it believable. Like, I like when evil has a plan and has, you know, like if she would have said, like, it's not the time, like I have this, blah, blah, blah. If we knew, even if Emma had no idea, if we knew that the Black Fairy needed something else or had a plan in the works for, you know, the best way to bring her down or something, like it just, we don't know enough about what she's plotting or planning to believe that she's this, you know, crazy evil. I guess we're just so used to Rumpel and Regina's plotting that seeing this evil that like doesn't seem to want to tell us anything is just kind of off-putting.
Yeah, like maybe we'll get some flashbacks or something, just anything, any little bit of information that we could have on her. And it's probably coming. I'm just so concerned with the way that next week's episode was presented, because I feel like they're just trying to make Xelena relevant, which could crash and burn. And they're bringing a kid back into it again, because that's clearly the only motivation that could possibly move Xelena to do anything.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. And by fetch, I mean Xelena, obviously. Yeah.
Or baby sacrifices, because that's just creepy. I don't know exactly what was going on with her in that, and the baby, because my DVR likes to cut it off mid-trailer, so I get to see most of it, but then it cuts me off. Yeah, it's evil. And so, like, I don't know exactly what happens in the final seconds of that, but it was like, yeah, no, please no more. No more with the babies.
Is it evil or is it wicked?
And she's, like, holding that weird, like, purple heart that actually looks like a, like the shape of a heart, not, like, the human yes! heart. I was like, what is this?
I was like, have we graduated to, like, the actual heart now? Like, are we going with the shape of a heart? Like, what is happening?
It's all very weird. And I think this is definitely one of those episodes where we just have to take it for what it was and hope for the best. But that trailer did not help me have any hope.
Then again, last week's trailer you said was specifically misleading, so
yeah, so hopefully that's the case. But I think regardless, because of even the title is Where Bluebirds Fly, you know, we got another Over the Rainbow reference here, so I feel like we're really pushing on the Xelena storyline, which we don't need. No one needs that. All right.
Run out of Wizard of Oz lyrics.
I know.
Episodes after.
I know. I was trying to think of, like, when did I just talk about The Wizard of Oz in relation to the next episode? But, again, another rewatchable reference, the Angel episode is Over the Rainbow.
Oh, that's right.
Next week.
Kismet.
When I was writing Where Bluebirds Fly, I'm like, no, that's not right. I think it's Over the Rainbow. Like, where did I read that recently today? And
nope, that was Brittany's brainstorms.
Yeah, that was Brittany's brainstorms for another podcast. All right, is there anything else we want to talk? Oh, you know what we should talk about? Hook and David. Because they're bros, and turns out nothing really matters, even if you kill your friend's father, because you're a changed man.
I mean, it would have been nice to see David maybe struggle a little with it. Yeah. Like, I understand that Hook is a different man, but that was my father that you killed, and maybe, I understand if he doesn't blame Hook for it, because he is a changed man. He has clearly undergone some major character development in the last, you know, two or three seasons here, but it would have been nice to see David, you know, have a moment or somewhere along the way here just kind of struggle with the fact that the man who wants to marry his daughter killed his father.
Yeah, even half an episode.
Yeah, just give the man a second. Let him process.
But I guess, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, you just got your wife back. You know that your daughter's going to have to fight this great evil. You kind of just, like, count your losses. Like, am I really going to harp on something that happened in another realm at another time? And I guess I would just write it off at that point and be like, all right, I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to walk away from this.
Pragmatically, like, what does holding a grudge do at this point?
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit in the beginning about how quickly Hook proposed. Do we think that the wedding's coming soon? Like, will it happen this season? I think it has to happen this season.
Well, with this looming threat of reboot and, you know, like, them talking about possibly changing next season, it makes me think that if they wanted to release, I don't want to say the words, but if they wanted to continue the show without a Hook Emma-centric story, the most logical way to do that is to give them their happily ever after. A marriage at the end of this season, you know, defeat the Black Fairy, get them married, happily ever after, and then something else happens which steers the story toward a different character or toward, you know, something else. Like, that would give them the opportunity to kind of recenter the story without, you know, leaving these two characters on the hook.
More pirate puns.
All the pirate puns.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely fair. I think it's definitely going to happen this season because of the exact reason that you said, with this reset that could potentially be in season 7. They would have to do it. And someone deserves a happy ending. Let's just give it to Hook and Emma. And Regina. I don't know what Regina's happy ending would be, but since I know kind of what Hook and Emma's happy ending looks like, this seems like an achievable goal.
Just give it to them.
Yeah, just give it to them.
Somebody needs nice things. Most people can't have nice things. Let's give them nice things.
And make sure Hook doesn't, like, stand under any loose lighting or there's no loose tree branches around that a strong wind could break. So he makes it through the ceremony.
Like, Regina has to just be on, like, guard. Like, she is the one keeping an eye out for any magical, you know, whatnot that could affect the wedding. Like, she ruined a wedding and now she's going to protect a wedding. Like, I think it would totally work.
All right. So, like we were just talking about, next week, the episode is season 6, episode 18, Where Bluebirds Fly, where we'll be talking about Zelina and more of the Black Fairies plot for Storybrooke and the Savior. And we'll be back to discuss all of that with hopefully everyone. And until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.